You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird in the entire WBOK listening audience. Man, we got Mr. Think 504 is back. We got more news, man. You got affordable housing provisions taken out of an ordinance that had affordable housing provisions. Wow, we got the Secretary of State.
Wow, was that shocking?
Sexual harassment charges.
Wow. And he was serious.
We got the Attorney General broke his ribs.
Snowboarding. He's in the Olympics or something.
Oh, my. You got the President say give the janitors and the teachers firearms.
Guns. Shoot them up.
We got a problem with guns, and the solution is more guns.
Right.
You have Louisiana's affordable housing guru. Kicked off the housing board because they fought for more affordable housing.
Go figure. Why would they do that? What is going on?
What?
My goodness.
Why? You got elected officials saying we need more housing and they voted against more housing.
Right. Jeff. Yes.
Help me think.
Listen, you know, we are living in funny times. I'm just in shock right now.
This is crazy, man.
My boy is feeling some kind of way. You talked about reality radio. If y'all had seen him 2 minutes ago, my goodness. And now, your ability to be professional, to turn on the switch, to be OT is amazing to me. Because, ladies and gentlemen, my boy is feeling some kind of way. I want y'all to know. We're going to talk a little bit about that and let you get some of that off your chest.
But you know, when people who can help you, who could easily help threaten or hurt, right? So what is it in you if you see an issue and your mindset is to hurt the station or hurt the individual, not to step up your game to help the community?
Correct.
It would seem to me that if you were the right kind of person and when someone wants to hold you accountable in an area, you would say, well, man, how can I help?
Listen, this harkens back to the day. You remember Tom Jones, the morning show, who I guess we compete
against.
When he brought on, I mean, he held accountable advertisers who were given $100.
Southwest Airlines.
Right. And CompUSA and all of these companies at the time who were given $100 to white outlets that had lower ratings than he did and given a dollar to him. And so when we don't value what we do as black people, and particularly particularly alarming.
Very good comparison. Is when
the people who are doing this are African American like us. I mean, that is.
So the Tribune and an Advocate can get $100,000. So the Advocate and the Picayune can get $100,000.
Right.
But the Tribune is supposed to be happy with your $100, with your $10.
Right.
The Weekly is supposed to be happy. I'm giving you anything.
Correct.
Data News is supposed to be happy. I'm giving you anything.
Correct. And you're right. And that is that's the mindset.
Craig, them days over.
That's the mindset.
If you're gonna kill me, bruh.
That's my surprise word of the day. We're gonna get it. We gotta make sure we get to my surprise word of the day. Cause my surprise word of the day is gonna prove that we're living in an era of this inferiority complex of black people amongst us that's partially as responsible as white supremacy is in our lives. And I want to get that black word of the day, that surprise word, I should say, at the end of the show. So everybody needs to listen to this. I'm telling you, when I say the surprise word of the day, people are going to be gasping, but at the same time, it's going to be revealing and revelatory to you that that you are, in fact, suffering from inferiority complex. You listening to me right now, I promise you, you're going to say, Jeff,
504-260-9265. Yeah. We're back to Mr. Think 504, our segment. Jeff, of course, I can't have you on without talking about Nash. I know we haven't listened to agenda, but what happened? I mean,
the Parkland shooting. Yeah, I tell you. Listen, I'm of the opinion. Listen, initially my thinking was, well, we just need an armed guard at these schools. But it turns out we had an armed guard. And he did nothing. Right. So I think we have to harden the entries to these schools. I think to me, that is the basic solution that's easily attained, although expensive. You know, if it's as difficult to get in a school as it is to get into City Hall in New Orleans, for example, that's all we need.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
I mean, there are armed guards. There are what do you call those, metal detectors, and limited entry. And as long as you have that, I think it'll be difficult for these kinds of things to continue.
Well, there are many African-American schools that are already like that. There's only one way in.
That's right, and one way out.
Exactly, and metal detector and guards right there. They've been doing that at black schools for years.
Sure, and we don't have those issues. Maybe that's why. And that certainly contributes to the safety of schools. I think we harden the entry to schools. We need these children, this old adage, children are our future, children are our assets. Mm-hmm. If we really believe that, we need to start acting that way. And the way we do it, to me, is to harden entries to schools. It's got to be, you can't just be able to walk into a school with a gun and start shooting and kill 17 people. I mean, it just can't happen.
Well, first of all, as always, thank you for weighing in. Man, we got an agenda, man.
Yes, we do.
Look, man, let's get into it. Number one on that, Irvin Mayfield case.
The Irvin Mayfield case. And let me tell you about this, OT. I wrote an article about this. It was about a month ago. And, I thought it was something that might have some interest. And if people get the Think 504 newsletter, you'll know that, we repeat articles in case you missed it.
Right.
And if something's interesting to you, you get to select something, you hit click, and then it brings you to the article. One article over the last 30 days has been the highest click, has gotten the most, the website has gotten the most page views, and that is the article about Irvin Mayfield, which says Irvin Mayfield may not be guilty. Might not be guilty.
And that's been extremely interesting, especially prosecutorial leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Many are alleging prosecutorial misconduct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a part of it.
Allegedly, in many cases, there were checks and balances of approval that where people signed off
on
what he did.
Exactly
so
right.
So talk about what you've uncovered there.
So let's talk about, first of all, everybody who's listening probably feels like Irvin Mayfield's guilty. What do you know? He bought a solid gold
and if we see it on the news, we believe it.
Right,
especially
right.
Especially on mainstream media.
Listen, I've said this over and over again, and people are starting to repeat it, and it makes me feel good, but nobody can make a black man look bad better than the New Orleans press. I mean, assassination is class one. I mean, 101, how to make a black man look bad. I mean, you die in the streets, you bring up his history. 40 years ago, he broke into a car, and so he deserved it. Whatever the reason, I mean, this is part and parcel of what we get from the New Orleans media in general, and has been that way for years and years. And that's part of the reason that we don't have any love for each other, because they make us believe that we're bad people. But this character assassination as it relates
to linguistic racism.
Yes, exactly. That's a beautiful term. I love that. Yes. As it relates to Irvin Mayfield, though, you know that he bought a solid gold trumpet. You know that he stayed in the Ritz-Carlton, spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You know all of these kinds of things. These are things that, really and truly should come out only at trial.
Right.
This is information. So this was leaked to the media. Now, how did this information get out there? Well, we know David Hammer from Channel 4 is the one who broke this case.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look a little bit at David Hammer and Irvin Mayfield's relationship, because that's important here.
Okay.
I don't know Mr. Mayfield. I don't know Mr. Hammer. I'm just looking at from what I get, the information that people bring to me, and what I can uncover in my research. And this is what I know, that David Hammer and Irvin Mayfield were once linked, that they were
no,
they were buddies.
Well, you do your homework.
Let me tell you, I understand that David Hammer, in fact, wanted to write a book, be the ghostwriter, an autobiography of Irvin Mayfield.
For true?
This is what I hear. This is what they tell me.
Okay.
And so they had a meeting about this.
I didn't know that.
They were chummy around town. They hung out and that kind of stuff. And they had a meeting. And in this meeting where David Hammer made his pitch to Mr. Mayfield.
Now, this is allegedly.
So I hear. I don't know for sure. This is correct. Thank you for, I can get myself in trouble, and I appreciate you getting me cleaned up.
I'm already in enough.
I'm right there with you. So.
Right.
But at this meeting where they were supposed to negotiate the terms of the book, it turns out it seems that Mr. Hammer said something that Mr. Mayfield was not happy with. And so the book deal was suddenly off.
Mm-hmm.
So now, all of a sudden.
And if I can ask, what was it that was said, allegedly?
I don't know. That's I'm telling you, this is let me just say this is hearsay, all right, for the audience.
And, okay.
And it's not admissible in court what I'm talking about, because I'm just telling you about what I heard.
Okay.
What they had said to me. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what I heard. That's what I heard. So, so now suddenly the two buddies
got a rift.
There's an issue. Now, simultaneously, you know, we have to also remember that Irvin Mayfield served on the library board, mm-hmm. and he also served on the jazz orchestra board, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Now, there was a time when...
He was one of the creators of the jazz orchestra. You don't have a jazz orchestra, and you don't have that facility without Irvin Mayfield.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. And so, now, listen, remember, you know, libraries have been dying. The people's attendance at libraries, people don't read books anymore. They got books on their phones. Right. And so what happened was there was a shift in population attendance. People didn't go to libraries anymore. People started to go to these immersive, interactive facilities.
Office shops.
but also like jazz museums.
Right.
Where they could go, they could play an instrument, right. they could listen to the music, right. they could talk to musicians. And so that was the hot thing. That was where the money was going. That was where all the funding was going. Right. People who donate to libraries were no longer donating to libraries. They were donating to these interactive, you know, 21st century mm-hmm. institutions where people got information in a real way, a right. tangible way. You didn't just go sit down and read a book. You went and played an instrument, played a trumpet, learned right. about the trumpet, heard music. And so the library board was thinking, well, wow, this is the future. Now, you sat on boards and commissions. I sat on boards mm-hmm. and commissions. Has there ever been a board or commission where you're the only person?
No.
The board or commission usually is.
I've never seen the commission of one. Some may act like the one.
Right. They try to.
Surely
I've been on boards where, right, there have been personalities where people have tried to push the board towards something. But on this board, usually boards are creams of the crop, right? Are people who are invested in whatever the board or commission is involved in. And so, you know, you usually have a president, a vice president, a secretary, mm-hmm. a treasurer, and other members. Mm-hmm. And people vote, and people make decisions.
Right.
So you don't just write a check. And so Irvin Mayfield sat on boards like that. Okay, he wasn't a board of one. He wasn't a guy who could just say, well, you know what?
And let me say, the most puzzling thing to me mm-hmm. has been the lack of attention to all these people who supposedly signed off or served with him.
Well, there you go.
And many who I know
you're jumping ahead in my story,
who would be at his house. Many who have some of these good government images.
Right.
Many that were his personal friends.
Right.
Now they're absent from the story.
Right. Irvin was legendary for opening his house on Sundays and having people come in and he play music and different musicians would play. His house was kind of like this jazz orchestra thing. Right. It was where people could go and get immersed in music and eat and mm-hmm. drink and be merry and network. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got involved with a bunch of the people who are his. Probably how he got on the library board. Probably mm-hmm. how he got the jazz orchestra mm-hmm. found. I don't know. Again, I'm guessing mm-hmm. on that.
He was the city's music ambassador.
He was the city's music ambassador. We need to set the stage for those who may not know. He's a Grammy Award winner.
Right.
He had a place on Bourbon Street that he mm-hmm. lended his name mm-hmm. to. And I mean, he was man about town. You know, making music, making records all over the country. And performing, so he is an influential kind of mm-hmm. musician. He's not just, you know, a dude on the corner on Bourbon Street trying to play for tips, right? I mean, we're talking about an influential musician.
What a Grammy Award winning musician.
Correct. Thank you. So you got me off where I was in my stories, but I'll say that. So anyway, the point.
Talking about commission, there were other people. He's not on these boards by himself.
That's right. Thank you.
He can't sign off by himself.
Thank you. That's right. So now he's alleged, according to this indictment, to just have taken $1.4 million and stuck it in his pocket.
He just went
in there. He wasn't the secretary. He wasn't the treasurer. He was the president. So somebody wrote a check to – he didn't go in there. They're not saying he went in there and wrote a check. He didn't go into the bank with the debit card and take out, you know, $100 a million mm-hmm. times. He actually got a check written to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that so there were people who signed off on this. And so in this board and commission format, who are intelligent people, who are members of the community, mm-hmm. who are, you know, Ron Foremans and those kinds of people who have been on these boards, in this commission, they signed off. They signed the checks.
Bob Brown, one of the great good government voices in our town.
Signed the checks. And so they gave him the money to do something, which was what? Build a building.
Right.
Now, if there was no building, ooh, this would be... He didn't build a building, right? Mm-hmm. There is no jazz orchestra. Is there one?
No. There is.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yeah.
Where
absolutely.
Is it?
On the corner of O.C. Haley and Martin Luther King.
Oh, right. That's two influential names. He built it right there?
Yeah, right there.
There used to be a...
Right
gross,
in the hood.
There used to be a...
Gators.
Gators, that's right. And before Gators, it was a legendary old business, Jewish name. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think... So maybe it's one of
Before Gators, it was, and after Gators, it was blighted.
Yeah, for years and years and years. And now, if you go in there, it is.
It's one of the top acoustic and performance facilities in the country.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful facility.
If you're going to give a performance,
sure.
Acoustically, in terms of the way it's laid out, it's one of the best places I've ever been.
Right. Now, let's talk about some other facts. Irvin was, in fact, on the library board.
Mm-hmm.
And the library board had some tough financial challenges, as many boards and commissions do. It's the state of Louisiana is in the mm-hmm. situation right now where they're talking about having to cut. So Irvin Mayfield had to make, he was the president, and as president of the board, he was the one who delivered the news of the board. But it was a board decision to lay off
mm-hmm.
librarians across town.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he partners with that he had a riff with? David Hammer. Now, David Hammer mm-hmm. is a married guy, and his wife works as a librarian.
No, get out of here.
I kid you not.
We haven't heard any of this stuff.
That never came out before, huh?
Right.
Where is this coming from? So, now she didn't get laid off.
Now, all this is allegedly.
No, his wife is, in fact, a librarian.
Oh, okay, she's not allegedly a librarian.
No, she's definitely a librarian. Maybe she was. Maybe she's not now.
Ooh,
but she
this
was.
This is getting juicy.
Well, let me tell you. So now you got a guy who now the librarian's friends are getting laid off. And, honey, aren't you friends with this Mayfield dude? What's the deal? Why is he laying off all of our friends? He, first of all. So now you got a interim U.S. attorney who at the time had not brought charges against any other than black people. And his biggest fish so far had been Irvin Mayfield. I'm getting myself in trouble. You know, when Ken Polite was the U.S. attorney, I could call him up and say, hey, Mr. Polite, am I all right? Hey, Ken, mm-hmm. am I okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't have that luxury anymore, you know? But I'm just hopeful that this interim guy mm-hmm. isn't going to come after me right now. But I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I kid to make the point that these are powerful people. And when powerful people have access to power,
powerful people hurt people.
They can. So now, all of a sudden, we're starting to hear, well, wait a minute. Let's look at this library. How did this money? What happened? Why is my wife's friends getting laid off? What's going on? So suddenly, now you have the U.S. Attorney's Office looking at this financial instrument that happened between two public commissions, the Library Foundation and New Orleans.
That someone signed off on.
That people signed off on, and it wasn't Irvin Mayfield. He didn't sign the check. He received the check, and he was supposed to build a building. We know these things to be facts. And you just told me the building is there. You told me it's one of the best buildings in the country.
It is.
I've been in there. It's beautiful.
Yes,
it's incredible. And if you haven't been, I think you should go.
It's an acoustic marvel.
It really is. In fact, I did a show for WBOK there about a year and a half ago, I think it was, with Rachel in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, we have now Irvin Mayfield being charged with crimes that I'm not sure that, first of all, these are crimes. I'm not sure that this may be some ethical violation. This may, but the fact is,
but the federal government don't care about that. I mean, they can send you to jail for
sure.
It doesn't matter.
Sure. You remember Sal, what's his last name? Paracone, Jim Letton.
Yeah, those are former U.S. attorneys.
Jim Jan Man. Mm-hmm. What happened to them? Why were they? Why can't they practice law in federal court anymore? Because they were giving out, they were leaking information.
Wow. So you're saying similar pattern, allegedly.
Well, listen, I know that we have information mm-hmm. that is normally not public information in federal courts until it comes out in trial. We don't, this kind of character assassination, mm-hmm. it harkens back to the days of Ray Nagin. It harkens back to the days of Fred Hebe. It harkens back to these days where Sal.
Fred Hebe had money to fight, though.
Fred Hebe certainly did.
And, he used their own people against them.
Which is why we know what Sal Perricone, Jan mm-hmm. Mann, and Jim Letton were up to. This is why we know these things, because they were, in fact, putting information on websites, blasting it out there about ongoing investigations.
So the bottom line, what you're saying is that don't rush to judgment. Wait for this thing to play out. There's a lot more coming.
Exactly right.
Potentially.
Exactly. I'm saying to you that, listen.
Because
I
said, in the court of public opinion,
he's guilty.
He's already guilty.
Let's talk about some of those, Ritz-Carlton trip. Talk about that a little bit. My understanding is he was there living in the Ritz-Carlton, signed off on by the board. Right. They were aware. Right. In fact, they said, look, he was on a fundraising trip. He was there doing the bidding of the board, living there, trying hobnobbing with the rich and famous right. in New York City, people who give millions right. of dollars right. to libraries and jazz orchestras. And his whole purpose for being there was to raise money. Now, first of all, they signed off on everyone.
Yeah, but maybe he should have stayed in a homeless shelter.
Or something like that, because, right. you know, how do you get to meet with Bill Gates and that kind of stuff if right. you're not staying in the homeless shelter? Certainly living in the Ritz-Carlton is not going to be up to snuff.
Right.
But the fact is, though, that not only was he living there, not only was it signed off on, but also he was there on a fundraising trip, and he brought back money. He brought back much more money than the trip.
That.
You didn't hear any of that, right?
No.
So the point that I'm making is nobody can make a black man look bad better than the New Orleans media. I just think that we have to push back. Part of our reason for being here is to paint a different picture. There's a different side to things. There's a different way of looking at things.
The cultural narrative has to be rewritten.
This narrative bias this confirmation bias exists are real. And, you know, we talked about that a year or two ago about, you know, what narrative bias is. And what
propaganda, linguistic racism.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And we are easy to believe this. And my surprise word of the day is going to prove it. When I say my surprise word of the day, when I tell you what I am, what I was doing this morning, you're going to say, Jeff, it's true.
Well, we got a lot more to come in. I'm sure hopefully you'll come back and you'll update us as you get more information. But
I will.
So if nothing else, you're telling us that, hey, keep your minds and your ears open on this case. There's some other things that that may potentially come
exactly
into play.
Right. Exactly right. And don't be so quick to believe everything you read in the New Orleans media, because they have a history of making black men look bad on purpose. And character assassination is what we get too often. And so it's up to us to present black people in a more positive light, in a more human light.
But you know what, though, what you just said, which is extremely hurtful, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we fight to survive here, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to actually try to give the balance, okay?
Sure.
And then for when we talk about accountability and our struggle here at WBOK, where in many cases those people, they want us to protect them or give the other side of the story when they get in trouble.
Right, right.
But when we're out there trying to raise money.
Where are they?
Or when we're out there trying to survive, where are they? And I would hope at some point.
This is a Wakanda moment right now.
That black CEO, that black celebrity, that black elected official know that, you know, we have some value here, because when you need us.
Yeah. Listen, this is what happened in Black Panther. This is exactly
right.
what happened.
It was one of the morals of the story.
Exactly right. Those who have the power to help when
right.
they can don't,
right.
then what happens to us? I mean,
right.
where are we left? Where are we? I hear that music.
Wow.
I guess we're
going on. Yeah, we're going to take our break now, Mr. Producer. Look. We're going to take our break now, and then when we come back, we're going to finish this conversation. And what do you have? What else do you have on it?
I want to talk about this power plant out
there. Lord, I'm in enough trouble with that.
I'm sorry. We got to bring it out there. We got
right.
to put it out there.
All right.
It needs to happen.
We'll be back after the break.
Yeah.
Celebrate Black History Month with WBOK 1230 AM, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird, and the entire WBOK listening audience. This is O.T. And the early bird, man, back to the subject at hand.
Yes, sir.
This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand, so I dig into my pocket all my money spent.
Still dig deeper.
Coming up with Lent. So I start my mission, leave my residence, thinking, how could I get some dead?
Presidents.
Hey. Back when rap, when you used to be able to understand the lyrics, man. Back to the 504.
Eric B. and Rakim.
Back to the 504. Next topic on the agenda?
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be that power plant out there in New Orleans East. That's coming. I mean, it's not going to happen.
$210 million power
plant? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a major investment, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a lot of money.
Every New Orleans ratepayer is going to pay for it. We are paying for it.
Okay.
It's our money. Don't get it twisted. Okay. Entergy ain't like, you know, spending money. They're making the investment, but they're getting it back over the next 10 years. And it's part of, if you look around the state, first of all, Entergy is putting these plants up everywhere. They are improving their infrastructure, and they are.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. We need it, right? Sure, right. Absolutely. They got an aging infrastructure. Right. And let me just say, I talked in preparing for today's show, I talked to a bunch of people. I talked to the president of Entergy New Orleans. I talked to former presidents of major national power companies. Mm-hmm. I've talked to the Alliance for Affordable Energy people. I've been in meetings with them. I've talked to community activists. I've talked to all sides of this thing. And one thing for certain is that this plan is happening because, you know, based on yesterday's vote.
They just got subcommittee approval, 4-1 vote. Susan Guidry was the only one voted against it.
And so when you got 4 out of 7, then you carry the water in and wins. So it's happening. It's coming. But let's talk about a little bit about, is it necessary, some of the factors regarding it, and why is Entergy doing it? You know, well, first thing is this. And this is kind of to Jason Williams' point. I want everybody out there to think about electric poles. Mm-hmm. And when you see electric poles, you see the wooden poles down your street, possibly. And then sometimes you see these big, tall, high metal poles, right? So what's the difference? Well, the wooden poles that you see, and those are local transmission lines. Mm-hmm. Those are local delivery lines, actually. Those are local lines. That's Entergy lines delivering it to us. The big power lines that you see, that's the national grid. Mm-hmm. Now where Entergy right now is, and so how do you get power? You know, Entergy now is tapping into the national grid. That's, there is no longer a power plant in Orleans Parish. We don't have the capacity at all to generate any electricity at all.
Right.
We can't do it. Right. So as a New Orleanian, that concerns me. You know, when we have...
And it should.
We have these storms and that kind of stuff. We need to be able to produce
power.
We're
subject to the national grid. We're subject to old local lines.
Exactly right. And so now, let's talk a little bit about Entergy. Mm-hmm. Is Entergy a not-for-profit?
No, it's a Fortune 500 company.
It's a Fortune 500
only one we have in Orleans Parish.
Exactly right.
And they're the big dog.
Right. They have a big office here. It's not their headquarters, but they have a big office here. And the reality is Entergy's sole purpose in life is to make money. Now, the way they choose to do it is through the delivery of electricity and natural gas and reliable energy services, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what we have to understand is that Entergy's sole reason for being in New Orleans, they don't love us. They don't care if the lights go out or not, really and truly. They care that they're going to make money.
They're stockholders, they're shareholders.
Sure. I mean, that's the reason businesses exist in America. We live in a capitalistic society, and business exists to earn income. Mm-hmm. Now, it is a regulated industry, which means they, because they have a monopoly, they can't just charge you $1 trillion.
The state is regulated by the Public Service Commission?
Correct.
Entergy New Orleans Algiers is regulated by the New Orleans City Council Utility Committee.
Who met yesterday and approved this new power.
Correct.
Right. So the reality is that Entergy is in business to make money and in business to deliver power, and the reason that they're here is that purpose only. So that has to be an established fact. Now, now, how can they, every year, they have to make more money. They can't make the same amount of money they made last year, and they certainly can't lose money. So how can them make, how can they make money delivering power? Mm-hmm. I mean, they can get more people to move into New Orleans or the state of Louisiana, and that's how they can get, they can make more money. Or, as a corporation, they can have an asset that they can make a return on their investment,
right?
Right? So the way they make the assets that they can make a return on are power plants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's regulated. So these not remind you, they're putting these power plants all over the state.
Absolutely.
Lake Charles, St. Charles Parish, North Louisiana. I stopped doing research.
Now New Orleans East.
Right, and now New Orleans East. I stopped doing research when I came up with six that they're putting up across the state. So they're saying we are upgrading the energy grid. And that's probably true. That's probably true. But they're also doing is positioning themselves. Listen, Louisiana is not gaining population. New Orleans, even though it was at one time, you know, one of the fastest growing cities in the world, in the country, we knew that was just a repopulation.
Right now we're losing population.
Right. Right. So if Entergy is going to make money and they're not getting more people to come in and say, turn on my electricity, then they have to make money on the return on investment on assets.
And maybe and maybe using their lines for transmission for others?
Exactly, right.
To be part of the national grid?
Correct.
To benefit from that?
And these power plants definitely are going to do that. These power plants are definitely going to be a part of the national grid. These power plants are definitely going to be pushing energy out, selling it all over the country. Let's not be to it. Let's not get that to it.
You think so?
I absolutely, positively know that to be a fact.
Okay.
I mean, they say that these are peak power plants, right? So that means like in the summertime when it gets really, 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 really hot and we need a lot of electricity, and if we sap anything out of that grid, you know, we tap, you know, the extension cord that we have on these big metal poles, then this local power plant kicks in and gives us power. We save just in time by a local power plant.
Right.
Right. All of that may or may not be true. But what the reality is that Entergy is in business to make money, and they're in business to make money off of the citizens of New Orleans, and they are regulated by the City Council and the State Public Service Commission. And the way they make money is a return on investment, on, let's say 10% on this power plant in New Orleans and the six they're putting up around the state.
Now, you on your the agenda that you submitted, and guys, look, this is part of, I think, 504 agenda. As a matter of fact, you didn't even know I dealt with this.
I found out a few minutes ago.
Yesterday.
That's right.
You know, after I got threatened.
Right.
But what you're saying is that on you, you have who supports it.
Right. Well, there are, let me say, according to Entergy, they did polling, and 75%, I think, Mr. Rice told me, of the citizens of the city of the state of the city of New Orleans support this new power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to go. We don't want to be in the dark. We understand that we're vulnerable, that in a hurricane comes and knocks us out and transmission lines are knocked out. If we can produce our own power and get back up on our feet, that's a good thing. So I think that's probably why. And if you ask those questions, if you position it that way, then 75% of the people are going to say yes to
that. Let there be light.
Let there be light, yeah, or not. So we don't know what questions were asked in this poll.
Right.
And I really didn't see the poll. I'm going on their word, and I believe
them. Who opposes it?
Well, who opposes it? You got the Alliance for Affordable Energy. You got several members of New Orleans East. You got Justice and
Dr. Beverly Wright, one of the top environmental scientists
exactly
in this region.
Exactly right. And their opposition is based upon the fact that this is dirty. This is old, outdated solutions, and that the real issue, according to the opponents, is that we need better transmission lines, that's where we're vulnerable. And that certainly is also correct.
Something candidate Troy Henry talked about
in
his quest for mayor.
He was one of the smartest people on this topic. In fact, when I talked to you about, he was one of the people I consulted with.
Right.
And he gave me a lot of this information. So a lot, you know.
Right.
I don't know, he's on one of these secretive transmission committee, I mean transition team things. So I may not say that.
We can't talk about that.
Right, I'm sorry. I do want to talk about the transition team. I do want to say it needs to be more transparent. I do want to interject right now. I'm sorry. I know this is making you this is making you uncomfortable, Day Oliver. Yeah. But I think the transition team needs to be more transparent. We need to get more information. At least we need to know what's happening. Give us some updates. Let us know where you are. Mm-hmm. A weekly update on transition would be beneficial, I think, to the public. Because right now this cloud of secrecy, this shroud, I mean, I just don't know. I just think it would be better.
I can't talk about it.
Okay, I understand. So let's get back to Entergy, because I just wanted to interject that. That's a very important point.
Always making us
think. Absolutely positive.
Okay, now.
All right. So now let's talk about, is Entergy kind of hustling us? Is Entergy trying to make more money? Is this power plant a way for Entergy to make more money? Absolutely positively.
Okay. I mean, and that's okay, right? As long as our rates are reasonable,
we don't get gouged and that kind of stuff.
As long as more African American men and women can do business with them.
This is where now you're getting to the point that I want. This is where.
And so I'm talking about major contracts, not just chicken feed?
Correct. This is what I'm talking about. Now, several things about this thing. There are three critical elements to this power plant and this Entergy being open to discussion now that the city council needs to take advantage of when it goes before the whole city council, because we know it's going to pass. But some of the givebacks, some of the things that we ought to make sure about is that, A, the Sewage and Water Board and Entergy ought to be talking. You know, the problem, the vulnerabilities that we have with 25 cycle power. Pumps should never go out. We should never have an issue. But Entergy and the Sewage and Water Board ought to have an office.
Ongoing relationship.
They ought to have an office together. The coalition between, we call them Swintergy or
Jeff
something like that.
Jeff Thomas making us think.
I mean, this is extremely important.
Sounds good.
Because listen, you know, we got this 25 cycle power and we need 60 cycle power. And so, and then they're making this transition. If Entergy and the Sewage and Water Board make sure that the Sewage and Water Board always has power, then that's an important give. That this is an important thing that the city of New Orleans ought to get from this new power plant.
Okay.
Ought to have.
That's one.
That's number one. Number two, we ought to have some real black businesses doing business with Entergy. Not Entergy New Orleans.
In a major way.
In a major way. Not cutting grass. I mean, we need to be able to have IT contracts. We need to be able to have WBOK with hundreds of thousands of dollars of ad dollars.
Building this new plan, major construction.
Right. You're exactly right. They need to be doing weekly updates, the WBOK update on Entergy. Right. All of these, because the public needs to know. Right. Just like I think the transition team needs to give information to the public, Entergy needs to give information to the public about building this power plant. And if they were more transparent and more open and listen to the critics, and people are going to be against you, and that's okay. All right?
Okay.
But
number two.
All right. What was number three? I forgot number three.
You didn't tell me what number three was.
Oh, well, I forgot about it. So I'll think of it later. I kid you not. But let me tell you one other thing. One other part of this thing that I think is important is it's devolved into a he said, she said kind of thing. It's an attack on, you know, Charles Rice personally versus some out-of-town, new-to-town people who are trying to make a black man look bad. And that I have an issue with. I'm not pro-Entergy. Let's get this. Entergy don't give Think 504.
I think Charles Rice is one of the best CEOs and executives we have in this,
right.
in this city.
I wish they would invest in Think 504. I've asked them, but, you know, I don't know. My stuff might be too extreme. I don't know. But this is one of the givebacks that I think the city council ought to fight for. The city council ought to mandate that the DBE program that the city has, Entergy New Orleans ought to be subject to that same DBE program. 35%, not a goal, a reality. 35%, and let me tell you,
City Council does regulate that.
Exactly right.
That's an easy ask.
It's an easy ask. And
you can't get the permit, you can't get approval of this transmission plan unless you reach these DBO goals. They did it with Harris.
There you go.
It could easily be done. That's all.
There you go.
That's the only thing I was talking about yesterday is look, our town is dying. Okay.
Yes.
We're dying while a major part of New Orleans is surviving.
Mm-hmm.
The distinctions on both sides of the roles, the disparities are unbelievable, Jeff. If we don't start taking advantage of opportunities like the World Trade Center, the airport, the resiliency grant, sewage and water board, $1 billion of work, this energy project, if we don't start taking advantage of our, where we allow black men and women to participate in a meaningful, major way,
right,
not just a consulting contract and there,
that's right,
not just a community activist on the payroll here and there,
that's right,
not just a sub here, but in a meaningful way, we've seen that the model we're using right now hasn't worked to close the gap in terms of the disparities.
That's right.
So black business needs to participate in a meaningful way. That's all I was saying.
Absolutely positive. And let me say, that's one of my great.
But they say I did something wrong for asking for that.
Listen, you know, people are sensitive right now. People feel like the public is attacking them, and so they're ultra sensitive and they're in their feelings, as they say in the street. And so, you know, listen, they'll be okay. They're big boys. They already got the project approved, and they'll be fine. So they don't have to worry. But I think though, it still has to go before the full city council. And the full city council.
There's
city
still
council,
time.
Ought to put these kind of requirements in place, that they work with the Sewage and Water Board to guarantee that we don't have any issues, that a full DBE program is in place, and all of, not just it, that's one of my disappointments in that we've had three black CEOs of Entergy, have we not?
Yes.
First one was Dan Packer, then Rod West, and now Charles Rice.
Correct.
Three great black men.
Absolutely.
I mean, legendary figures in our community.
Right.
I just wish that more had been done. Maybe I'm unaware, and it could be. Maybe they could send me an email. Maybe Charles Rice or somebody to send me an email saying, we do these $29 million worth of business with.
That would be nice to know.
That'd be great.
That would be nice to know and to be able to show that. That would be a beautiful thing. That's what I would do.
Right. And I think that I would show who
the million-dollar African-American men and women are who contract. I would show who the million-dollar local.
Right.
I would show that.
Right. That's exactly right. We got a call?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to the lines right now. Okay. Line one, Lonnie. God bless, man. You're on with OT and Mr. Think 504, Jeff Thomas.
Yes, sir, brother. How y'all doing this
morning?
Good,
fine,
good, Lonnie. How are you?
Okay. I reflect back on some of the things the energy done did in this for this country, you know. Like, for instance, I remember when he first came up with the idea of the building of the nuclear powerhouse. Okay? I worked out there, you know, building that nuclear powerhouse. I worked out there after it got up and running. And the sole purpose of that powerhouse would predominantly for Orleans Parish. That's what they sold you on.
Yes.
Because they went in under the cover of, you know, LPNL? You know.
That's right.
That's what they went in under.
That's right.
Then energy came in and took it over. You know. Now, after talking to some of the engineers out there, they work for energy. You don't even use the power that the system generates. They sell it to someone else and buy your energy from someone else. And I'm asking, I said, why are they doing this if they build a powerhouse for this area? He said, it's more profitable like that. We'll get more money selling to someone else than providing you, and we divide from someone else.
Well,
now,
you're right, Lon.
If you look on your bill, if you see an Orleans Parish, you see a fuel adjustment cost.
Yeah, correct.
You're the only one in the state of Louisiana got that fuel adjustment cost. If you got a nuclear powerhouse, you're not supposed to have a fuel adjustment cost. Because they're constantly producing energy.
Lonnie, thank you. You made me remember my third point. And let me just add this. I think you're 100% right. And my third point is this. You know, we can't have these guesstimates on bills. I mean, Entergy sends out bills, and Sewage and Water Board, too, sends out these, hey, we think your bill is about, for you this month, it's going to be about $325.99 this month. And we need to have accurate meter reading. And also, we need to tie in the meter reading to Sewage and Water Board, and so that people can be able to see their bills online immediately, real time. maybe a day behind. But part of what this new power plant, they're going to be getting an 11, 12% return on this investment of $210 million.
Thank you, Lonnie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, but that's my third point. You made me think of it, and I thank you. And also, we're getting close to my surprise word of the day. But the third ask should be that we have real meter reading. We should never get another guesstimate. You know, I think, you know, this month it was really cold. So, you know, your bill this month ought to be $59.99. But, you know, we need to have real-time, meter reading. And we need to be able to see it real-time. You need to be able to go online and see what my bill is right now. I don't – listen, my mother had an $800 light bill last month from this freeze. I was in shock. I was in complete horror when I saw this. I had no clue it was coming. Had I known, I could have said, hey, look, we need another sweater or coat inside. You know what I mean? We need to cut back a little bit. And I don't know if it was real or not. I think it was an estimated bill. So I'm questioning that. But the point is that we need to hold their feet to the fire. They're getting in these assets. We're allowing them to make money. And that's fine. They're in business to do it. We know nobody gets free electricity in the world. Like, no free rent. There's no free lights. But we need to get give backs from our guarantees. They have a monopoly, like C.C. Campbell Rock says. How did they get this monopoly? Well, as a monopolistic entity in this city, they need to be able to be better corporate citizens. And they have been, but they need to do better, I think.
Oh. Well, ma'am, you know, we've come to the to the end of this time.
You want me to give my surprise word that's going to prove to everybody?
Anything else, you know, that, you know, before you give your surprise word, or you just want to get into it?
It's always better to report than to predict, so I'd rather, my last prediction may not be coming to fruition. I think that some ranks were closed, and so I'd rather not say that kind of stuff anymore, especially when I don't have real good information. And so
your word,
my word, I just want this word is going to prove to everybody, and I hate because we got the greatest basketball playing Paris president in the world sitting out there,
no doubt about that.
This word is going to prove, I'm going to prove to Lee, you're going to be in shock, OT, you're going to be in shock, Guy, you're going to be in shock. I'm telling y'all, when I say this word and when I tell people that I'm doing this, y'all are going to be, something's wrong. I practice voodoo, and I've been doing it on y'all all day. I told y'all.
So is the word voodoo?
The word is voodoo.
The word is voodoo.
Voodoo.
Right.
Y'all are looking at me like, what is going on with you? This is proof that you all have this inferiority complex. Let me tell you how it's proof. You're thinking right now, voodoo dolls. You're thinking a devil religion.
I'm thinking right now, you cuckoo for
cocoa
puff.
I'm thinking I'm crazy. Exactly right. Because you know why? You're ignorant about what voodoo is. Because you know what voodoo is? Voodoo is the religion of our ancestors as it came in Louisiana. You know, in Haiti, Toussaint Louverture.
Yeah.
They practiced voodoo. Mm-hmm. Voodoo was a religion of freedom.
Yeah.
It was an expression of strength and power. Okay. It's a prayer for freedom. It is. And so I know Lee is looking at me quizzically. And maybe next time I come on, and I'm going to write something about this. Let me just tell you. We're going to have to expound. But let me just tell you. I know your minds are close to this.
He's about to call Victor Sims.
Your minds are close to this. I'm telling you. I'm putting this out there.
Put it out.
The fact is that, you know, slave owners hated slaves who practiced voodoo because those slaves wanted freedom. Those slaves rebelled. So that's why it was a devil religion. Let me just tell you, voodoo is a practice of freedom and strength and power, rebelling against slavery. So, you know, now you got this narrative bias against it. Voodoo is a devil religion. Let me just tell you, open your minds
to
possibilities, making you think.
I'm gonna summon up Marie Laveau. I gotta have that conversation.
There you go. This voodoo dolls and all this devil worship.
We're gonna have to continue this conversation.
It's not the reality of what voodoo is. Voodoo is about power. It's about strength. It's about black people being free and as strong as they can be.
And we'll talk transition next time.
Sounds great. All right. I'll be happy to hear that. Thank you,
Jeff
much.
Thomas, how can people get in touch with you?
They can go to think504.com, coloredthought.com, and they can sign up and be happy to hear you. Please go and subscribe to our newsletters right there on the right-hand side when you go to think504.com.
Who knew we would be talking about voodoo.
Voodoo.
But this is your, this is the seance we practice every morning right here on WBOK. When we try to invoke the spirit of news and accountability, don't take it the wrong way. If there's a challenge that needs to be met in our community, address the challenge. Don't get upset when we talk about accountability. We're only doing it because the people in this town are so important, and we love them so much that we want them to do better. God bless you, Jeff Thomas, man. We look forward to coming back. When we come back, Parish President Guy McGinnis, one of the best in the business. We'll talk to him when we come back.